Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This song?
Yeah.
That's Matchbox 20.
Matchbox 20.
How far we've come.
I love this song.
This might be my favorite Matchbox 20 song.
Oh, me too, for
and
sure.
And this is not in their, like, prime era.
Oh, no. This is well after their prime.
Yeah, this is late. This is after...
This is post-prime?
This is after Rob Thomas had his independent run, and then he came back. Came back to the herd.
Post-Santana.
Yeah, it was post-Santana.
By the way, you're wondering, why in the world are they playing Matchbox 20? Well, we're giving away tickets.
We're trying to.
If you guys could get your heads out of the gutter.
Yeah, four pairs. We already gave away one pair, but we have four pairs to give away. Fake brewery names, and we're not looking for sexual stuff, folks.
No, we're making fun of people who like hiking.
I don't know why everybody got onto this innuendo train.
Because that's what our listeners do.
Mm.
We did get a text from the 402, Nick, that said, America's greatest national park, Yellowstone, is located in Wyoming. Nick can't help but have poor takes.
Well, it's got a super volcano.
He did say it's mostly trees.
It's mostly trees.
So that's not inaccurate.
And a super volcano that wants to kill everybody.
Reg says...
It's dormant.
Foolish Oak Brews.
Dormant. Foolish Oak. That's good.
Craig says Fumble Rooski Brewski.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's not what we were going for, but that's a good name.
That's a fun one. So, yeah, keep them coming.
I've got one from Eva and Tony. I don't know which one sent this.
Oh, joint email account.
But Mountain Stream Brewing, which is good, but then they ruined it. Home of Trout Stout, which I kind of like. That's fine.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say they ruined it, and then you're going to give us like this from Kenny. Frisky Otter Brewing. Come on!
Yeah, no.
Jeez, you know the song 3 a.m., I bet.
Yeah, 3 a.m.
Is that from them?
Yeah.
You can play it later.
Tony, I apologize. Mountain Stream is pretty good. I like that.
There you go. All right.
So Mountain Stream is solid.
Maybe that'll be one of the listeners, or one of the winners, rather, to see Matchbox 20.
We'll let you know if you win.
We'll let you know if you win. All right, Robbie. Creighton, Princeton. What is more concerning to you?
Everything.
About... Well, I know that.
Sorry.
Robbie is afraid of his mentions.
I'm afraid of... Well, I'm just afraid of everything. I'm a naturally nervous person.
Yeah. Nick says retweet.
Yeah.
More concerning to you, when Creighton has the ball or when they don't tonight?
Oh, that's interesting. I think when they have the ball.
Because?
I don't... If Creighton is locked in defensively... Princeton's going to have a hell of a time trying to score.
Basically, you think if Creighton's defense is where you expect
it to be,
then the game, they will have an obvious opportunity to win the game.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I guess I'm more concerned with what their shot selection looks like, what their offensive movement looks like, what the ball movement looks like, how often they're getting the ball to Kalkbrenner on offense. Those types of things I have less certainty about. I think the defense has been fairly consistently to a level that will win them this game.
Because like they can't have a second straight game where Kalkbrenner is like he was against Baylor,
they can
right?
if they shoot 11 for 22 from three.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth,
yeah,
right?
For
that's
sure.
part
but
of
I guess
the reason.
You're not expecting that, are you?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I think a back... closer to their normal, so what, like 7 for 20 is about where they're at for the season. They're about 34-35% on the season, so somewhere like that is kind of where I expect them to be, and I think you probably need to get, again, I've been saying this for a long time, I think Kalkbrenner needs double-digit touches, or double-digit shot attempts. I'd prefer him to be somewhere in the 12 to 15 range, especially against the lineup where their tallest guy is 6'8", 6'9".
Nice.
That they're going to throw at him.
Nice.
You guys aren't helping the brewery situation.
69.
69 Brewing. Hot beat you to it.
There's going to be a huge size mismatch there. So even if he doesn't get the shots off, you have to give him the looks so that you force them to double.
Yeah.
And then that opens everything else up, right? I don't want them to settle for taking 33s because I think that's a bad formula for them.
Definitely.
With this particular team. Again, unless you're shooting it at 50%, which I don't expect to happen again, although it could. I mean, Baylor's defense is probably better than Princeton's, just athletically. So it's not impossible, but I think a more sustainable method to win is making sure you get Kalkbrenner touches and either allowing him to just go to work down there or forcing Princeton to double team so that you can open up everything else so that you can get Kaluma and Alexander and Ryan Nemhard going downhill. That to me is the recipe for success.
You know, you look at recent games now that this team has played in, going back even to the regular season. So they finished up the regular season after that bad loss to Villanova. They won a couple versus Georgetown and DePaul.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Nova by 13 in a game that
they beat their ass. They killed Nova.
Maybe the best win that they had had of the season to that point. And then they
Xavier
followed up
at home was a better win.
Yeah, and I would say that those are the two in my opinion.
That's their best performances. The Xavier win is definitely better
for sure.
The performances are probably close, but because of the opponent, I'll take Xavier. But top couple performances of the season.
They follow that up though with the stink bomb versus Xavier. So at that point, you know, we're wondering what is this team, because if you go back to Valentine's Day, Creighton went 4-4 to finish up the season, and that was after the 8-game winning streak, right? It was an 8-game winning streak? Was
nine.
It nine-game winning streak. They end up going 4-4. And at that point, I think collectively we're all like, okay, what
but
the hell is this
you also
team?
look at two of the four. You have a double overtime at Providence.
Mm-hmm.
You have a one-point loss to number 10 Marquette, who ended up being a two seed. So, I mean,
it was mainly the last two losses were the ones where
there was the two losses to Villanova.
Yeah,
the one loss to Villanova and then the loss to Xavier that you're like, eh. But again, Xavier's a really good basketball team.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and I just, you can look at it at 4-4, but you can also look at it and, you know, we tried to do this earlier in the year on their 6-game losing streak, right? And you're like, well, the first couple kind of make sense, and then it kind of snowballs
on you. Yeah, just it tails off at the end.
You know, you can kind of do the same thing here. You can look at it and say 4-4. That's a little concerning. You're not going into the tournament super hot. Or you can be like, well, it was a double overtime loss on the road at a really good team. It was, you know, number 10 Marquette at home where you had a chance to win at the end.
It's a really good Xavier team.
Trey Alexander had
Sweet 16 now.
A great-looking three-point shot at the end of that Marquette game, and it just didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, are we having a totally different conversation if that shot goes in?
Yeah, probably.
You know, so I try not to look at it too much, but I also try not to discount the fact that 4-4, not awesome.
Yeah, and so now you look at how they played. I'd say the NC State game was like a B-minus level performance, maybe C+. I would say that the Baylor performance was like at worst an A-.
I think A-.
You know, I know that the only reason it's not like an A for me is the last, 5-6 minutes where they're unable to get a field goal, but they did such a good job at getting to that point that it didn't even matter.
And defensively, they were still good enough to hold on.
And so ultimately, that long windup, here's the pitch. What level performance gets them a dub tonight? Because they got a win with a B-minus performance versus NC State, maybe C+, depending on how you view it. Great performance against Baylor. So, like, you're going to take that one darn near 10 out of 10 times. Like, can they survive with a C or a C+ tonight? Like, I have found...
So we're calling, like, the Xavier at-home game the A-plus version of what this team is capable
probably,
of.
Probably, yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we'll call Villanova in the Big East an A version of what this team is capable of.
Yeah.
So what grade do they need to achieve to beat Princeton?
Yeah. Now, of course, part of this is going to depend on how well Princeton plays.
Yes.
So this is not going out and playing golf where you can control your own variables.
You're playing against another team here that it provides a variable. If Princeton plays their average game, I think Creighton can win with another B-minus effort.
Okay.
If Princeton is really good at controlling the pace, which they've been good at, if they're really good at keeping Creighton off the offensive boards, which is one of the only places statistically that Princeton's elite at, if they've been really good at second chance points in the tournament, I think they're plus 26 in their first two games in the tournament on second chance points. If they're able to continue that trend and they're playing really well in those areas, then Creighton probably needs a B+, A-.
And then what if they're a little bit like, what if finally the 15 seed shows up and looks like the 15 seed?
Then Creighton can probably play a C game and win.
Yeah.
I mean,
or
if they can't
play
make
better
any
than
shots,
that, they're going to cover. Like, that's one of those, like, Creighton could run away with this thing if Princeton plays like that.
Yes. Yeah. If Princeton plays like a 15 seed, then Creighton plays a B game, they're going to cover pretty comfortably.
Yeah.
That's the fact of the matter. There is a gap here. Like,
I know.
We can't pretend like there isn't a huge gap here.
I've been thinking about that all week long, and we got to go to break because Kent Wagemont's in the bullpen right now. But, like, all week long we've been talking about Princeton, and not to take anything away from them, great
incredible
win.
Incredible effort.
Yeah, they beat Arizona, a team that a lot of people had picked to win the Natty, and then they didn't just beat Missouri, they smoked Missouri. They left no doubt in that game. But, I mean, look, they were a 15 seed for a reason. They are an Ivy League school for a reason.
They're barely top 100 in both offense and defense on KenPom. Again, they're not elite at anything except for not allowing offensive rebounds in the country. They're pretty good at a lot of things, but even with statistically, you have to remember most of those statistics are against other Ivy League schools. From a roster and talent standpoint, there's a pretty large gap here.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's something that you just have to take into account. It's not like this team lights it on fire from three. They have a couple really solid shooters. You know, I like I said the other day, I don't think Langborg is going to go for 22 again and play out of his mind like he did against Missouri, especially early. There's a gap here, and to pretend that there's not is being disingenuous, but you can acknowledge that and still say, yeah, there's a way for Princeton to win.
Bingo.
But they shouldn't. I mean, that's the bottom line. They shouldn't.
Bishop will join us in about an hour from Louisville, and we will dive into this game a whole lot more. One more brewery name from John into the text machine. He says, 68 Brewing. You can always add one more. That's a good one, and that's a winner. Congratulations to John. He will get some Matchbox 20 tickets. When we return, we will talk about, say it, the movie.
Vengeance.
I like the way you've been saying it.
It's good.
Vengeance. When we return, also, we will have John's pick for the movie club. The question is, will John actually be here next Friday to talk about the movie? Or will Creighton be in the Final Four?
Ooh, that would be fun.
Robbie, look at the smile
on
his face.
That would be fun.
Folks. All right, Kent Wagamon joins us. When we return, we will talk about
Vengeance
here on 1620 The Zone.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.